The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read it first. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem came out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed in camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandals strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit." It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, Mark is a very interesting character in history. This was a fun study. According to, the authorship is attributed to John Mark, mentioned by Luke in several times in the book of Acts. And John was his Hebrew name, and Mark was his Roman name. So that's interesting, too. I would split up like that. There are many Bible scholars who believe that Mark is the young boy mentioned in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was arrested before his crucifixion. The young boy is only mentioned in this one gospel, too, so very likely he was speaking of himself. Mark evidently converted to Christianity under the tutelage of Peter the Apostle. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter referred to Mark as his son, perhaps in faith, because there's no evidence that supports their bloodline. And many scholars refer to Mark's gospel as Peter's gospel through Mark, because Peter would have possibly been the one who told Mark of these accounts of Jesus due to his age and all. And since evidence points to Mark and Peter traveling together to Rome, it makes sense that Mark would have written his gospel possibly to the Romans. And here's a couple of reasons why. Because Mark's gospel seems to be written with Gentiles and or possibly the Romans in mind, and not people with extensive knowledge in Judaism. He uses Roman time, for instance, referring to the 12-hour intervals beginning at midnight as opposed to the Jewish day beginning with dawn and ending at sunset. And that's referenced in Mark 6:48 and 13:35. And he uses only two references from the Old Testament, which Gentiles would not understand, and references and or understand the references, and therefore didn't seem to be writing to the Jewish with the Jewish people in mind. And finally, there's no genealogy mentioned in Mark's gospel, which is kind of common in Jewish tradition. Mark is the shortest gospel account, and he tells more about actions and what happened and less of what was said, as if passing on a story told to him by another person, possibly. Okay, but Mark doesn't waste any words, as you can see by the very first verse. "In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." In this opening line, Mark leaves no doubt what he truly believes. In the beginning of the gospel, the beginning of the word, the good news, or the ministry of Jesus Christ, his ministry actually started immediately after his baptism. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So in the beginning of the gospel, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So Mark gets right to the point of his core belief with few words. And I just love that about him. He just gets right to the point. "As it is written in the prophets," verse 2, "as it is written in the prophets, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' This is in reference to the prophet Malachi and what he said in his in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I, God, send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in which and whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight, spoken from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Right there, he's saying, make a highway straight for our God, calling Jesus God. A very interesting thing that came to light for me while I was reading this. And verse 4 says, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So I thought of some rhetorical questions because I did a lot of studying on this and where he came up with the whole idea of putting people, you know, dunking people underwater for remission of sins. So the questions I came up with, the rhetorical questions to think about, wasn't remission of sin handled in the temple through animal sacrifice? And where did John come up with the idea of baptism of repentance by submersion in water? Perhaps ceremonial cleansing, John learned from the Essenes? Maybe? Who knows? And who sent John? Well, earlier on it says God sent John because of the reference to on verse 2 about, behold, I send my messenger. So that's God talking. And another reference I found was the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6, says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. So obviously he was sent by God. And personally, I don't know that Jesus needed anyone preparing his path, but it was told by the prophets, so it had to come to pass, right? Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. And then if you skip 6 and just go to 7, and he preached saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I. I always thought of John as this big, burly guy, all hairy, with a hairy coat on and a big, giant Santa Claus belt and a big brass belt buckle. But then this is a picture I had in my head about John the Baptist. I don't know why. It's just like this mountain man or somebody, maybe one of the extras in one of those, old BC movies or something like that. But and reading about what they wore in those days, it seems to me like a lot of people wore clothing that was woven with all different kinds of animal hairs. So that just might have been just cloth, just made from camel hair. And then they either wore a sash of cloth or a leather belt. So it might have just been a thin leather belt. So all my thoughts about the big burly guy, big hairy behemoth man, might have been not true. He could have been a thin man. We don't even know. But moving right along here, he said, I indeed baptize you in water with water, but he, meaning Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. These are pretty powerful words he was saying here. And it did come to pass as we were reading in Acts chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. That paints a really beautiful picture, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It's just amazing words right there. Then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.